So how long have you been drawing comic books?
Since I was about 7 years old, little kid.
What did your parents think about it?
They hated.
Oh, yeah. After I got a job and they saw that you can make a living out of third, you'll hear no complaints anymore.
And you created X-Force?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the drawing of?
This is the Spike Man.
And what's this right here?
This is the camera on top of your head that will record the wrongdoings of others.
So Rob, have you had any formal art training?
No. Just a lot of imagination, I think. Wait till so I say it and then look down. Or just open it and say it.
Fly button.
Hey, Action Room fans, this is Tony Wolf, and I'm singing the A-Team theme song, because you know what came out this week? Another A-Team trailer. Maybe the only A-Team trailer. I don't know. Producer Mike and I were talking about this.
Well, that's the thing. I saw one months ago, but it seemed to be like kind of an illegal one or whatever.
They would keep pulling it off.
Yeah, so right. I don't know. Maybe it is technically the second one. It looks great, though. I'm excited. So.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here on the...
This is the subdued NPR,
yes,
Tony.
Yes, this is PBS Action Room. Welcome to Action Room, the Action Room, in fact. I'm Tony Wolf, and we're here with Fresh Air, This American Life on NPR. We're here tonight, and we're a little subdued. Producer Mike and I are here because Geek Goddess Jenny, we had a massive scheduling snafu due to a little thing called Easter, which I am told involves Cadbury cream eggs and peeps.
Thanks, Easter Bunny! Buck, buck!
Later on in the show, we'll have an interview with Alex Zalbin. He's a comedian, writer, actor, hardcore comic book fan, film critic, TV critic. We're very excited to have him on the show.
We know him from the Comic Book Club, which is the live kind of, you know, improv-y comic book show.
Exactly.
But he has Thor and the Warriors 4, which is this miniseries.
So we'll also have our regular nerd news and perhaps some discussion about the release of the iPad, which just happened mere handfuls of hours ago.
Just this morning as we taped this, and it was pretty exciting. We'll get into that later. The thing I wanted to talk about is, I mean, speaking of comic books.
Yeah.
I guess I can always say speaking of comic books because we're always talking about comic books. But just recently, last night, I was watching Jimmy Fallon, and, you know, speaking of the iPad, they were talking about the Marvel app.
Yes, which is big news.
Now, this is just amazing how, I guess it's mostly due to Quesada, how he's promoting Marvel, and he's really getting the name out there.
Well,
and
also, now that Disney owns them, I think they have more, like, marketing suits involved, talking about digital distribution and
maybe,
the way
of
the future.
Maybe, but I'm still going to give it credit to anybody who was a part of Marvel before the Disney takeover.
Yeah. No, he's very savvy with that stuff.
But basically, what was interesting is they were showing it, and just the fact that it was even talked about, a Marvel app on the Jimmy Fallon show. Then the next...
He's a bit of a geek himself.
He is a bit of a geek, so I'm not completely surprised, but it was still cool, you know?
Right.
The next thing was Carson Daly after that, and they had a profile, they had kind of a segment on Lance Briggs, who's a football player for the Chicago Bears. I know nothing about football.
Right.
But what was interesting...
Nor do I.
What was interesting is it had nothing to do with football. It was all about how this football player was into comics, and he's a huge comic book fan.
Wow.
And the fact that he's now going to be the guest of honor at the C2E2, which is the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. And he was like, he's like the biggest fan of Top Cow Comics. Darkness
wow.
is like his favorite comic. And he wants to meet Mark Silvestri. So in the segment, he meets Mark Silvestri, and he's like all shy and like happy to meet him and stuff
wow.
like that. And it's just weird. It is getting to the level of the way it was in the early 90s, when
yep.
comic book people were like big celebrities.
Celebrities like Rob Liefeld.
On the Dennis Miller show, which was, he had a talk show in the 90s.
Right.
And
Rob Liefeld's Levi's commercial.
Spike Lee commercial, 501 jeans. Do they still make jeans with just button flies?
They
like,
do.
They do? Okay.
I bought a few, yes.
Those seem annoying, but...
they are a little bit annoying, but like there's that cool factor.
But anyway, so I'm excited. We are right around, we are inching closer to comic book creators, comic book artists back on talk shows, being a celebrity status, rock stars. And the thing is, with the iPad and the Marvel app,
yeah.
I really think they're going to get new readers, you know,
yes.
you know, who
yes.
or maybe didn't want to go to a comic book store themselves. Like
right. A lot of people are saying more women, more girls.
And more girls at the same time, partly, I think, due to Quesada,
right.
are getting involved in comics, too, behind the scenes,
yes.
creatively and stuff. So it's a really exciting time, I think.
Now, one of the things I said, I've been very active on Twitter, especially in the last, like, 48 hours. We have to disconnect my head. We have to unplug my brain.
And now your phone is connected to Twitter, which
yes.
wasn't the case before. So you are just 24/7.
I've reverted to being the sponge that producer Mike talked about. We have the nerd newsletter. We have a new character called the News Nerd.
And I think they have now Twitter connected to your dreams. So even when you're sleeping, you can still
That's
Twitter.
Cool. I actually did it. It was a little scary. I had a dream about Twitter, about about posting things on Twitter about 4 or 5 days ago.
What
did
you post?
And I was like, I don't even remember, but it was a little frightening. But in any case, I have brought up a point of discussion on Twitter, which please engage us on this, action fans. Where's DC's app? Marvel announced their app for the iPad about 4 days before the launch, before the premiere of the iPad. Not a word from Warner Brothers. Not a word from DC. I'm calling you out, DC. Come on, DC. Come on, DC. Why don't you come over to our apartment tonight and I'll show you a real man. That's Rocky III.
A Mr. T, a reference.
It's all A-Team. We're all tying it together.
So it is a mystery. Detective Comics has began a mystery.
Needs
here.
To solve the own mystery of how will their comics be digitally distributed on the iPad.
Now, I think that, as you were saying, they finally have gotten around to, you know, kind of setting up their company the way Marvel has now.
Yes.
So
they're copying, in some degree, the movie studio model. Marvel started to make this little continuity world with, you know, Captain America being in a deleted scene of the Iron Man movie. Thor might have a weird little pseudo-cameo in Iron Man 2. And they're going to create this little movie world continuity so when they do the Avengers movie, they'll all be united. DC has hinted that now they're going to start planting the seeds potentially for a Justice League movie. And they want to develop... DC also made an announcement, Warner Brothers did, that now that their Harry Potter bazillion-dollar franchise is over... They need another flagpole, tentpole franchise. Flagship franchise?
Flagpole.
Tentpole, pole,
a North
dancing.
Pole.
In any case, their new plan is for their new big franchise to be the Warner Brothers DC comic book heroes. And they say, we want to release a major superhero movie every year for the next 7 years.
And they can do it.
Batman 3 by Chris Nolan and Christian Bale. The Flash movie is now on the fast track. Green Lantern has already started shooting with Ryan Reynolds, and it seems very well cast. Wonder Woman is still in development hell, and other properties as well. And maybe Geoff Johns hinted that in San Diego Comic-Con, there may be an announcement tentatively about a Justice League movie being on DC's radar.
But specifically, the interesting thing is, as well as the movies have done, they haven't ever really affected sales of the comics.
Oh, and Superman, they eventually have to do new Superman. Good Superman movies.
But the movies haven't affected the comic book sales. And so it's interesting now that there might be a chance for comics themselves to be sold, you know, in higher numbers.
Right, right.
And so as far as the DC approach and stuff, who do you think Jim Lee is going to be, like, comparable to what Quesada has been doing as far as promotion? And
I think Jim Lee, but more so Geoff Johns, because Geoff Johns has worked in TV, and Geoff Johns is going to be a major script consultant and executive consultant on the Flash movie, because Geoff Johns cut his artistic eye teeth on the Flash. It's one of his most beloved characters.
Cool, cool.
Geoff Johns really specializes in Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, and the Justice Society, the JSA, stuff like that. So in any case, so a lot of exciting things. We will eventually have someone on the show who owns a brand new iPad, and we'll get a direct review from Jason Liebig. And maybe TJ Allard, our correspondent, can chime in as well.
Yep. Yeah, whoever we can find with an iPad. If you have an iPad and you want to be on the show, come on
off. Yes, you can come to the Action Room studio. So Twitter us, Facebook us, and of course we are Geek Radio. Thanks for driving up our hits on our site. And we don't have an RSS feed. You just go, please, to our site. And you can download everything for free. So
I don't like saying to Facebook us. That just sounds wrong.
Yo, Facebook us. It's like old cop shows. Book 'em, Dano.
All right, anyway. All right.
So, and by the way, you may notice, once again, the Geek Goddess couldn't be with us. We miss her. We miss you, Geek Goddess. The banter is not the same without you, Geek Goddess.
She's preparing for Mocha Fest.
She's preparing for Mocha, which will be next weekend. So we have a whole lot of exciting stuff coming up on the show. And I recently just posted on Twitter, I had a little exchange with Andy Diggle, The writer of The Losers and a lot of other great comics. Of course, The Losers movie coming out in just
and
a few months.
And he asked you to actually do something for him.
Right. I live in Brooklyn, and there was a bunch of Losers posters with the artist Jock's sort of cover designs that have been transformed into the poster. And it was just very cool in New York when you see like 10 of the same poster kind of all in a row. It just has a great visual effect. And I said this to him on Twitter, and he said, "Oh, take a pic and send it to me." And now, in the era of everything is instant, I took a picture and tweeted it to him 10 minutes later, and he enjoyed seeing it.
He just tweeted back right
now. Tweeted back to us.
Those are on our Facebook. You can check them out.
Yes, exactly, under a little album that I created. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to do the cha-cha here in the Action Room. And once we've done doing the cha-cha and the mambo, we'll have an interview with a guy I very much admire and whose career I would like to have, Mr. Alex Zalbin. So that'll be right after these musical notes. All right, action fans, we are back in the Action Room on a special, very special episode where we have a very special guest. We are honored to have, and we told you about him earlier.
By the way, Tony says everything's very special, just so you know.
Oh, good. I don't feel special then, so thank you.
No, he's extra special. All right, well, no, it's a man I admire very much and is really an inspiration to, I think, anyone who is a pop culture fan, a pop culture journalist, a pop culture creator. And that is Alex Zalbin is here live in the Action Room studio. Thank you for being with us, Alex.
Thank you guys for having me. I just want to point out I actually did record this earlier, and you guys are just inserting my audio.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me here. I'm excited to be here.
Cool. Now, cool. The first time we saw you was when we attended the Comic Book Club, which is a live, what would you call it? Like, how do you describe it?
It's a live talk show. The way that I've always described it is it's like Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, except about total geek stuff,
okay.
Mostly comic books.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We do it once a week on Tuesdays, and we have...
At the Pit,
here in New York City. We have comic book guests come in, editors, writers, artists, talking about their books, and also comedians, and we try to come at it from it's a comedy show first, and it's about comic books second.
And you do it with two other people?
Yeah, Justin and Peter, the two other hosts. I take the role of the moderator, and Justin and Peter, like, the permanent guests,
right.
But all three of us produce the show, all three of us host it.
Cool. Justin Tyler and Pete LaPage? How does he say his last name? LaPageful?
Now I want to say it like LaPage, but it's LaPage.
LaPage, okay. So Alex Zalbin, for those of you who don't know, many of our listeners may already know, he really is an actor, a comedian, an improv comedy guy, a writer, and general comic book, one of the most hardcore comic book fans I've probably ever encountered.
Well, I wanted
really?
To...
I think you could match obscure knowledge with kind of a lot of the hardcore people out there.
Dude, when Tony kisses your ass, he kisses it all.
Man, I mean, that's really nice, but now I feel like people are going to come up to me on the street and be like, what happened
in 1976?
Hitman 32 on the fourth page, and I will say, I don't
No. Well, I wanted to mention this, because you just play a geek on TV. You're not actually a real geek, right?
No, I'm a total jock sports guy. I'm actually...
He was just watching the golf this afternoon.
Yeah, while you guys are listening to this, I'm actually beating up the two other guys in this room right now.
And you've been doing the show now, the Comic Book Club, live for 3 years, 3.5 years?
3.5 years, yeah.
What's it like to do a regular weekly show? Have you ever, like, you probably haven't missed, like, skip weeks and stuff?
It's the worst. Oh my god, I hate it. It is a slog.
Right.
No, it's fun. You know, I mean, we wouldn't keep doing it if we didn't like doing
it.
Yeah.
How has it evolved? Do you think it's changed at all?
We were talking about this the other day, actually. I think the main way it's evolved is through the audience and how we approach things. When we started off, it really was a comedy show, and there was a comedy audience. And at a certain point, when we started doing stuff for Newsarama, and we used to work for a place called PulpSecret.com and other places, as well as now we do our own web show just on YouTube, youtube.com/comicbookclub, we get more comic book fans in the audience and people who are more interested in the reviews. So rather than being like, this is funny and we're going off on bits, a lot of the times people will sit in the audience and be like, no, get back on track. I want to hear what you want to say about Justice League. So we have to, you know, temper that a little bit more
right,
and actually think a little bit
so
more.
You're basically saying it's not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah, well, I already said it was a slog. I never lie about anything. No, you know, it's fun in a different way.
I was going to ask you that. I've seen online your comic book club, the versions mm-hmm. have changed a lot. It was you doing kind of almost like an entertainment news program. Then right. it was kind of like you guys just in front of a green screen. Then you had like getting drunk on a couch or something. Like, who's coming up with all these versions?
First of all, I love how you describe that because that's like our slow descent. And then, now we're going to be doing a show where it's not exactly on video. It's more like security cam right. footage, and we're in an alley. High on crack.
It's only on underground VHS tape.
That's Manhattan Cable J.
Yeah, it's not even Comic Book Club anymore. It's just bum fights.
What is going on, Alex?
Oh, God. A lot of that was behind-the-scenes stuff, really more than anything we were doing. You know, we started doing the show, mm-hmm. and it really, I think, hit at this point where comic books were moving from being the secret thing that people did and right. didn't tell anybody about to superhero movies really catching on, superhero television's doing really well. You know, to use a very played-out metaphor, people were really coming out of the closet with their
geekdom.
Comic book addiction, everything. And we hit it at just the right time where we got asked to do this thing called the Pulp Secret Report.
Right.
At a certain point, Next New Networks that ran Pulp Secret Report said, you know what, this isn't working for us. Let's do something more like what you guys do on stage. And we said, that's great. That's kind of what we suggested in the first place.
Right.
So that's what we ended up doing is the green screen show. Added at a certain point, to even pull back the curtain a little bit more, they just couldn't quite figure out what to do with the green screen show more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to put the show on hiatus. We felt like we have enough people that are interested in the show, that are really excited about the show, that love the show, you know, including ourselves, of course, but really there's enough people watching and enough people interested who write us and tell us, wow, this really means a lot because I live in a small town and I don't get to see.
They don't have people to talk the geek stuff with.
Exactly.
The comic book minutia.
Yeah, and we try to be, you know, as approachable as possible. Mm. So we just kept doing it on YouTube, and that's kind of where things are now.
Now, you're also a Marvel Comics multiple published writer. Multiple times.
Yes. That's actually my business card says multiple published writer. So, yeah. I mean, that's a relatively new thing, but it's something that I'm very, very excited about.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, you're here to promote the new miniseries.
Yes.
Let's see. Okay, Thor and the Warriors 4, which is the first episode, or the first issue, rather, comes out this Wednesday, April 7th. Explain what it's about.
It's Thor and the Warriors 4, number one. It brings together Thor, God of Thunder, and also Power Pack. Their grandmother is dying, and they don't know quite how to deal with it. They're all four dealing with it in very different ways. Eventually, you know, issues down the road. It's really,
really hard. It's a four-issue miniseries?
Yes, it's a four-issue miniseries. But pretty quickly in the first issue, Julie discovers a book of Norse myths and finds out about the golden apples of Idun. And I don't know if you guys know this is actually in the Norse myths, but the Norse gods aren't immortal. Every morning they have golden apples that keep them young, keep them healthy, and help them live forever. Julie says, well, you know, Thor is an Avenger. We kind of know Thor. Why don't we find Thor and say, hey, just give us one apple. You guys have an unlimited source of apples. And that sets them on this really epic adventure over the course of the four issues.
Now, I was a big Walt Simonson fan, still am, and the original Thor run. We all love Frog Thor. You may be, I think you're definitely the first writer to use Frog Thor in a long time.
Or no, actually, Frog Thor comes from the Pet Avengers, which is
Chris Eliopoulos. Right.
Yeah, which is a great series everybody should check out. Pet Avengers actually appear in the first issue.
Okay.
But can I nerd out more than I've already
nerded out? Is Frog Thor a separate entity? It's not Thor having turned into a frog. It's a separate Frog Thor.
Right. It's a separate Frog Thor. Here's the thing about it that totally geeked me out, because one of the things that I knew when I was putting together the series is that they wanted to use the Pet Avengers in some way. And so I put together this thing. The only time Power Pack and Thor have actually met...
Interacted, right.
...was Thor 363, which was Walt Simonson.
Yeah, the Surtur, the Norse... which saga?
Curse?
Curse.
So they fight Curse, and then at the end of that issue, he gets turned into Frog Thor. Because I think it's Loki or Enchantress.
Right, it's Loki, Thor.
eventually another frog gets a sliver of Thor's hammer and becomes Frog Thor after Thor is turned back into Frog Thor.
Because he's a noble frog.
Yeah, exactly.
He's worthy.
Yeah, well, you can do worthy the sliver of Mjolm.
Kenneth Branagh was talking about how they're going to pronounce that in the new movie. That's a separate thing, but we'll find out.
I think they're going to call it Chad.
Wow, yeah. This is the nerdiest we've ever gotten on the show. but
you're welcome.
Now, no, I hate to sidetrack everything by talking about your sketch group.
Sure,
but
go
for
ahead.
A second
for
here, another world you live in is the sketch world, and you have Elephant Larry is the name of your comedy group.
Uh-huh.
You have this huge hit, Minesweeper the movie.
Minesweeper the movie,
which is almost 6 million views. That's pretty fucking amazing.
It's actually not to pat myself on the back, but it's even more than that. It's 6 million on YouTube.
Wow,
on college humor. I think it has about 5 million or so.
That's amazing.
And then in various other countries.
So are you now, you're writing and creating and doing comedy and comic book stuff full time?
I'm a freelance writer. I work at home. The other thing that I'm doing is I'm now also a full-time dad.
That's awesome.
I balance the baby in one hand and a comic book in the other.
You have a three-year-old or?
A three-month-old.
Three-month-old, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I knew the number three.
It's a little different.
it's younger than the comic book club.
Yeah.
But is your wife a nerd?
She is a little bit of different
dynamic there.
She is. It's not like she's standing in the corner nodding her head and going no, 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 or burning my comic books or anything
like
that.
Are you disagreeing on how to raise your child geek wise?
No, I don't think so. She actually has been way more encouraging of that stuff than I have. Where my line, I don't know. Everybody has their line in geekdom, right?
Right, yeah.
My line is dressing up for Comic Cons.
Right.
I will not. Do it. No insult to anybody that does. I understand we all have, our own limits, but that is just too much for me. But one of the first things before our baby was born, my wife said, "Oh, I really want to make her a cape." Oh, we should
make
her a
cape. Whoa, and were you surprised to hear this?
Surprised and also said no. But I think she's probably going to win on that account. We're probably going to go to New York Comic Con or something like that.
So, Thor and the Warriors 4, number one, comes out this Wednesday.
Yep.
The question I have for you is, get it in stores, but can we now get this on the iPad,
yeah,
Marvel
this is
app?
Exciting news. Will it be part of the Marvel app program?
No.
Okay.
As far as I understand it, and I can't really speak to it too much, but as far as I understand it from reading things, not any official word from Marvel, I believe the Marvel app is based on the way that they do their digital model for the digital comics, Unlimited or whatever they call it.
Okay.
Where it's a little bit of a delay. I don't think it's necessarily a 6-month delay across the board, but there is at least a couple of weeks, if not a couple of months, delay on the issues. So the only way, the exclusive way of getting Thor and the Warriors 4, number one, April 7th, this Wednesday, in comic book stores.
Pick it up, action fans.
Awesome. Alex, thank you
so
much.
All right, thank you so much for being on the show.
So much for having me.
It's an honor to have you.
Yay.
Okay. So we'll be back with the nerd news.
Right after this.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
All right, producer Mike, now it's time for a little something we like to call
Nerd News.
All right, in the Nerd News today, The world's hearts were aflutter, action fans. Geek and non-geeks alike all became geeks today. It's like after 9/11, we're all Americans. On Saturday, April 3rd, we all became tech geeks because what came out? The fucking iPad.
Steve Jobs hits the geeks like 9/11. That's what happened. So what happened was me and TJ went to the Apple iStore on Fifth Avenue in New York City.
Right by Central Park.
Right by Central Park, and it was 9 a.m. when the doors opened. But it was a circus. I had no idea.
You were there early.
Like this. Yeah, we got there early because we wanted
to. You
got
to there like
people.
8 or?
We got, yeah, something like that. And we just wanted to see what it was like. We thought maybe there'd be a line, but we didn't really expect the tons of press that were all over the place.
Right.
Anyway, so it was
you
fun.
You said CNN was there, the New York Times, Huffington Post.
Yeah, no, I mean Fox and, the main networks and stuff like that, because it was a big event, you know. I guess I should have known, but for some reason I didn't expect it to be.
I wouldn't have thought that, yeah.
In any case, we talked to who we could, but our main gimmick, the thing that kind of like everybody thought was funny that we were doing, was that we bought a bunch of Maxi pads and put Drew.
Did you get him at a Duane Reade?
Yeah, exactly. We went to a Duane Reade. We wrote
New York City, folks.
In a Sharpie on it, we wrote an I. And then right. we just said, hey, we have the iPad, and we started giving out
You don't
iPad.
Have to wait on this line. Come on.
And our joke, the joke I
did
threw out
Did some people
there,
accept MaxiPads?
Yeah, no, plenty of people did. And in fact,
free MaxiPads from the Action Room, that's a tough deal to beat,
and
people.
And unlike with the iPad that doesn't have flash, our iPad has hot flashes. So.
Whoa!
But anyway.
Can we have a little music cue there?
So it was exciting and it was fun, even though it was kind of, I think it's kind of retarded for people to stand online for this thing, but right. it doesn't matter. I think it's awesome. It looks amazing, and I know it's going to revolutionize everything.
And everyone, the reviews are saying it's very fast. It's like shockingly, the battery life is even longer than advertised, which is a major.
And I think,
you know,
for all the people that, you know, criticize it, they're still going to get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of retarded. Now, here's my take on it. This is just my personal take, is that I'm excited about it for all the reasons probably everyone isn't excited about it.
Okay.
I'm excited that it doesn't have flash, and I'm excited that it's all subscription based.
You know, our site runs on flash.
Right.
So,
right. No. Well, that's
true.
All right. Well, for the greater good, I just think that it's exciting.
Humanity outside the Action Room.
It's exciting for me because I feel that everything has been free online, and I feel that Steve Jobs is actually possibly going to save the entertainment industry by making
forcing people to pay for things.
Well, yeah, making everything subscription based. And not allowing for things like Flash where people can just see everything for free. Mm. So it's going to be exciting to see how this develops and how, you know, this brings money back into the, you know, studio.
Because this is, I mean, is the basis of your argument, which I think is correct. The music industry and the internet world are the reason, part of the reason, and not the economy is in ruins, but because you can't make money off music anymore.
Exactly.
And you can't make money off most internet content anymore because everything is free.
Because if you
Which we want. I mean, we kind
of
want things
want
to be
it.
Free and accessible, but the businesses will crumble.
But my viewpoint and my theory is that if you allow people to kill people, they will, and you sometimes have to police them. And Steve Jobs is the only man to do it. He's the parent.
He will keep us from killing people.
killing ourselves, yeah.
Right, metaphorically. This is the socioeconomic section of the Action Room. This is like, we are now economic chairs at Harvard University.
Because if he allowed for Flash, he would allow for YouTube, and he would allow, you know, for a lot of freer stuff.
Right.
This way you actually have to pay.
But can you go on YouTube on the iPad, I wonder? You've got to be able to.
A certain, probably a certain version of it. Mm. The point is that everything's limited, and I
right.
think that's a good thing. But either way,
by sort of having a gateway, you then have to pay a toll.
Right, basically. Right. I mean, but everything looks awesome. Now, right. I personally wouldn't get it, but we will have somebody in to talk about it. The turning of the pages and the book looks amazing. It's really exciting stuff. And did you know that you can click on a word in the book while you're reading it, and it'll give you the definition? Like, all this stuff will be a part. It's
okay.
pretty amazing.
They've
stuff.
Clearly put a lot of time and effort into it.
Anyway, all right.
Those nice boys over at Apple, they did a good job. All right. So elsewhere.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. The iPad is going to fuck you up. Something fierce. Yeah. All right. So elsewhere in the nerd news, we had a little bit of. Can we have the trailer mania?
Trailer mania!
All right, so we had some exciting trailers come out this week, perhaps not as high profile as Iron Man or other badass things like Tron 2 Legacy, but we had the A-Team trailer come out very recently,
Woo-hoo!
And I had not seen much about this new A-Team movie. I just kind of read things about it. Liam Neeson, man, the guy oozes charm. He's fucking hilarious. It's really great. It looks like a lot of fun.
Now, how did you feel? Because I did a comparison where I showed you the old intro to the show.
Which I watched the show a lot when I was little.
And then the new one. How did
I
feel?
Loved it. A wave of warm nostalgia washed over me.
Do you feel they kept kind of the cheesiness?
Yes,
of
completely.
Yeah.
And the movie's kind of winking at itself. A lot of
Easter eggs.
Yes. A lot of Mr. T fans and old school 80s fans were pissed off. How can you do an A-Team movie and not have Mr. T? But the guy seems like he's a good substitute.
He's no Mr. T, but he looks good.
And this is yet another movie where we can have, what's that guy, Bradley Cooper. Cooper is now like
he's
the new It guy. You know, Bradley Cooper and Ryan Reynolds are the young, brown-haired, handsome, hunky guys of the next 3 years. So get ready to look at them a lot, because they're going to be here.
And a handsome woman is in Resident Evil, which
yes,
is another trailer.
A very handsome, a fine figure of a woman, very handsome, very 18th century way to describe a hot woman. And the hot woman we speak of course, is Mila Jovovich, or Mia.
Always been a fan of hers.
Mia
even
Jovovich.
When she was a 13-year-old model, and that's not crazy because I was 13.
Pedophile, right. Well, you were her age, so it was okay to lust after her. No, she's good. I don't know if she's still married to the director of the Resident Evil movies, Paul W.S. Anderson.
I don't know.
Not to be confused with Paul Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, who made Magnolia.
And she was married to Luc Besson.
She marries all her directors, yes. Any director who does a sci-fi movie, hire her and she will marry
you.
Did
I mention I want to direct a movie with Mila Jojovich?
Hey, it could happen. Stranger things have happened in the world. So anyway, the Resident Evil trailer looks good. It's Resident Evil 3, technically. It is called Afterlife.
And
Ali Larder is in it.
Yeah.
I lost a bet. I should have known better because Ali Larder was...
Oh, yeah, you owe me a dollar.
I do. Should I hand it to you on the air? My wallet's in the other room.
Okay.
But Ali Larder was in Resident Evil 2. But they dyed her hair dark or dark red or brown or black. And I really, for the life of me, I was
it
like,
threw
that's
you.
Not Ali Larder. It threw me. Also, we had a celebrity death. It has been really sad several months. Lots of celebrity deaths.
I think we should stop doing the show so people will stop dying.
Yes, it's sort of it's like the secret. John Forsythe passed away. Now, he was in Dallas, the lead in Dallas, but most people know him from Dallas and, of course, the voice of Charlie in Charlie's Angels. Hi, Angels.
Hi, Charlie.
In any case, I believe that rats up the nerd news.
Rats up.
It rats out the nerd news.
Come on, do a rap.
I told you those nerd news is for rats, and I'm ratting them out in the 1920s gangster movie.
I dare you to rap the ending here.
Well, we're the Action Room, and we're here to say that we got the nerd news for you every 3.8 days. We're here in the studio, and it's fresh. We got a whole bunch of things that we try to mesh together when we do segues. We do them clean. We do them messy. What rhymes a segue? I don't fucking know.
Man, you should have stopped earlier. That was good, though. That was good. Very good.
What does rhyme with segue? Jesus. All right, someday I'm going to be on Flight of the Conchords if they ever revive that show. So I do believe we have reached the end of our special NPR, very subdued, only for a little bit of it subdued, episode of the Action Room. This is Geek Goddess Less Action Room. Let's have a moment for Geek Goddess. Yes, she'll be with us next episode. And happy Easter to everyone. You're probably just coming out of Easter or Passover. Or perhaps, is there an alternate version of this holiday? Like, is there Kwanzaa for Easter?
I don't know.
Is there like an alternate third, you know?
Has there ever been like a horror movie based around Easter? That would be good.
No, there was that. There was Tooth Fairy, but which is Eli Roth's first
movie
or something.
There was one about every holiday, but I don't think there's one about Easter.
We need an evil Easter Bunny.
Okay, I copyrighted that.
Killer Easter Bunny. Copyright Michael Turney, 2010.
Blood Bunny.
Blood Bunny.
All right, anyway.
So anyway, hope you enjoyed your holiday, and we never know what's going to happen next in the world of pop culture, and that's why we are here to bring you the finest wine in pop culture. This is vintage 1978 pop culture vintage. But
next week, we're going to play a game show, so it should be fun.
Oh, next episode, we have Colin Fisher and Amy Schultz, two very good friends of mine, friends of the show, fans of the show. We are going to play with them the Geek Newlywed Game, because they're a newly married, super geek, but totally awesome couple.
And that'll be Friday.
Yes.
So check it out.
All right. So I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm producer Mike.
And you've been listening to the NPR version of The Action Room. Fresh air. Goodbye.